Hello and welcome to the Motivation for Regular People podcast. People tend to think about motivation as something that some people have and others don't. The truth is that we all have the same amount of motivation because motivation plays a role in every decision that we make and every action we take. This means that you already have all the motivation you need to accomplish your goals. The only thing standing in your way is a deeper awareness of how motivation actually works and what truly motivates you. I hope this podcast helps you discover and utilize the motivation you've always had inside you. Now, let's get started. Hey, welcome back to the Motivation for Regular People podcast. We are back from a brief hiatus and pivoting, at least for now, to every other week programming. So definitely not going away, but we are cutting back slightly, again, at least for the foreseeable future. That said, I appreciate you for joining, especially today, because I feel this topic is so important. As a reminder, we're in a series called It's Up to You. We've spent the past several weeks talking about the things in life that we can control and how our response to the things that we can't control can make such a tremendous difference. And that's what we've especially been focusing on these last several weeks. So earlier in the series, we talked about how we can control expectations, responses, routines, even our perception of ourselves. Definitely encourage you to go back and listen to those episodes if you didn't hear them previously. We've also discussed how we can control how we prepare for situations, even if we can't prepare for the specific timing at which they occur. And then we've looked at how we can control the way that we think about the past, even when we can't control the past itself. So today we're going to cover a topic that comes up as often as anything in my coaching sessions, and that is the topic of relationships. So it's difficult to coach around relationships because we can't address what the client really wants to talk about, which is the other person. And while there's a time and a place for venting, and sometimes that's what clients need, ultimately coaching is about the individual being coached. And if we are going to work toward a solution, we are going to have to take a different approach than just talking about the other person. So whenever a client comes in and they want to talk about a relationship, after we get to the point where they are ready to move forward and look for a solution, I always start with the same question. And it's a pretty simple question, but it's one where we have to begin in this type of conversation. The question is, what about this situation do you control? And the reason this question matters so much is because a relationship by definition involves more than one person, meaning that there are two sides. There's the side that is the other person that you cannot control, and there is the side where you stand, and that is the side that you can control. As you can imagine, the emotions that you feel in the situation are very different based on what you choose to focus on. If I choose to focus on what I can't control, it becomes so easy to feel stuck or to build resentment or to feel this sense of hopelessness, like the situation can't ever change or improve relative to where it is right now. And that's not fun or helpful, but sometimes it's easier to stay in this place because it requires less effort. In a way, it's easier to be frustrated about what I can't control than it is to take ownership of what I can influence or affect. And that's where this question, what do you control, becomes so important, not only because it forces us to focus on what we can do, what we can change, but it also shifts our attitude to a point where we are more motivated to take action than maybe we were before. So when this question comes up in the context of relationships, there is always one answer that is true in every situation. Again, we're talking about this question of what do you control? And I try to stay away from generalities as much as I possibly can, but I'm using it here because it's so true and it's so important. So when it comes to relationships, we can't control everything, but we can control ourselves. I'm going to say that again. When it comes to relationships, we cannot control everything, but we can control ourselves. Again, there's two sides to every relationship. and doing what we can to improve our relationships starts with recognizing that we can never control the other person, but we can always control ourselves. So that's the first question to ask as we think about growing our relationships. What about the situation do you control? And you may be able to come up with different answers for that question depending on your specific situations or whatever relationship you're thinking about. But the answer that we can always agree on is that we can always control ourselves. So there's another question along with this question of what do you control that is also very powerful. What could change about you that would change your situation? I'll say that one more time as well. What could change about you that would change your situation? For the record, you can use this question in many different contexts, not just in the context of relationships. And I love this question because two reasons. One, it helps you focus on what you can control, which if you haven't gathered this already, is kind of the point of this podcast series. But the other reason is that as you come up with an answer for this question, it doesn't even matter what situation you are thinking about, you will identify areas for potential growth and improvement that can impact your life far beyond your present situation. Let's look at a real-time example. So I am recording this podcast episode late in the day on a Monday afternoon. It is supposed to go out on Thursday. So if you're listening on the first day that it came out, you're listening about 3 days after I recorded it. And I feel very motivated to get this episode ready to go today because I won't have an opportunity before Thursday, the day that it's supposed to release, to get it done. I am booked solid with meetings on Tuesday and Wednesday and likely won't have a chance to come back and work on this episode if it doesn't happen today. The problem is I was very distracted as I was writing this script. I had my email open most of the time. I thought that my kids might be coming home and I haven't seen them since early this morning, so I was looking forward to being with them again. So as I think about the obstacles, the issues that I'm facing in this situation, and I bring that question to the table, what could change about me that would change my situation? It's pretty easy to identify some areas for improvement. What could change about me? I could become more focused. I could become more intentional about eliminating distractions. I could become more willing to be uncomfortable with work that requires a high degree of creative energy rather than always opting for the quick dopamine hit that comes from activities like checking my email or scrolling through LinkedIn. And what's cool about that is as I think about these possibilities, those would not only impact how effectively I write podcast episodes, but how effectively I do all of my focused work. Not to mention being present with people both in meetings and coaching sessions and even outside of my work. If I could figure out how to eliminate distractions and focus when it mattered most, it would make a huge difference across my entire life. So you're seeing how helpful this question can be. But now let's pair it with this topic of relationships, which is where we initially began. So again, I'll peel back the curtain and I'll share an example from my personal life here. So I've got a daughter named Nora. Nora will be 3 next month. And she, if you've spent any time around a 3-year-old or an almost 3-year-old, you know how challenging they can sometimes be. And I love my daughter more than anything, but if you know Nora, you know she is especially strong-willed. And to be honest, depending on who you ask, she may have gotten that a little bit, at least from me. So let's think about this situation and work through these two questions from the beginning of the episode. So I've told you about a challenge that I'm facing with Nora. First question, what do I control? Obviously, I control myself. I control the way that I respond to her. I control the way that I interpret her stubbornness and her determination. And this idea is especially important for parenting. I control the way that I talk to her about herself. I don't want Nora to think that something she naturally possesses is in any way bad or harmful. Instead, as her father, I want to help her celebrate who she is while also channeling that sort of energy or predisposition in a way that is positive and productive for her. So I've identified, what do I control? Second question, what could change about me that would change the situation? Well, for starters, I could become more patient. I could become less attached to my own expectations or plans or agenda. I could certainly become more flexible. And now let me give you two bonus questions that I didn't mention specifically earlier, but I think they're also relevant as we work our way through this progression here. So, question number three, how would that impact the relationship? So in this specific example, we would spend less time butting heads and more time simply connecting. Nora would feel more loved, more supported, more empowered, rather than constantly being on edge as though she has to act a certain way, even though she's not even three yet and can't comprehend that sort of expectation just yet. And then finally, question number four, how would that impact the rest of my life? This one is huge. If I could become more patient, it would change so much. I would be more gracious of people who don't move as quickly as I do, as you may be able to gather from these podcast episodes and the way that I talk to myself, talk about myself rather. I can be pretty quick to the trigger. If I was able to develop more patience, I would be more people focused and less task focused. This list could go on and on. So, four questions for you to think about there as you think about how you can improve the quality of your relationships, even when you can't control everything. To review, question number one is, what do I control? Question number two is, what could change about me that would change the situation? Question number three is, how would those changes impact the relationship? And then finally, how would those changes impact the rest of my life? Before we wrap up, let me give you a few more specific examples of how you can control yourself in the context of a relationship. So, another thing that you can control yourself. More specifically, you can control your proximity. You get to decide how close you are to people, how much time you spend with them, how you entrust them with knowledge and resources. So you can control proximity. Number two, you can control your boundaries. I love how Brené Brown describes boundaries. She has a very simple framework for setting boundaries, and it involves saying what is okay and what is not okay. And since we've talked a lot about parenting in this episode, I will just say that we use this with our kids all the time. We will tell them what is okay and what is not okay. For example, it's okay to be frustrated. It is not okay to use certain words when you get frustrated. It's not okay to slam doors and do things like that. I love that framework for boundaries. And I think that you can do this in a way that doesn't diminish the other person's value and isn't offensive to them. It's not as though you were saying that they are bad. You were just communicating a desire or preference that you have from your perspective. And that sets the table for this last controllable that I want to talk about. You can control the way that you express yourself. And to me, this matters regardless of how the other person receives it. So, for example, if you are expressing a feeling or a need or a perspective that you have to me, even if I don't agree with that perspective, even if I don't see the world the same way, it is not my place to diminish your viewpoint just because it's not my own. And if I do this, I feel that I miss out on an incredible opportunity for learning and connection, as well as reinforcing the false narrative that I have it all figured out and that my way of seeing the world is infallible, because it is not. I still have so much learning and growth that I need to do. And a big part of that comes from how I listen to other people and how I respond when people share things with me that I may not initially agree with or may not reflect the way that I see similar situations. So, as we close this episode out, let me stress the importance of this topic one more time. I truly believe that relationships are what make life worth living. And if we're going to get anything right in life, it should be the way that we relate to other people. I'm not going to fully revert back to my ministry background and get preachy here, or at least not any more preachy than I've already gotten. But I think it's so critical that we treat others with the appropriate level of respect, compassion, and love. And I hope this week's content better equips you to live this way. I also believe that relationships can be one of the most refining experiences that we undergo in life. It's as though the way that we relate to people functions as a sort of mirror that allows us to see ourselves differently and facilitates so many incredible opportunities for ongoing growth and development. Hey, thanks as always for listening to our show. I know that it's been a few weeks since we've gotten some new content out, and I appreciate you sticking with us during the interim there. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. In the meantime, I always appreciate positive ratings and reviews and shares of this show with anyone who you think may find the content helpful. I'll talk to you soon. Remember, you already have all the motivation you need to pursue your goals, and it's up to you to decide what you'll do with it. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. Recently, I was feeling overwhelmed with all of the responsibilities I was juggling in my work and personal life. I signed up for BetterHelp and scheduled my first online therapy session. To be honest, I was a little nervous about meeting with a therapist online, but I was matched with a great therapist who offered me a fantastic experience. She helped me tremendously in our first session, and I noticed an instant difference in my mental health. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can also message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions whenever it's convenient for you. If you're matched with a therapist who isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom picked for you, you also get more scheduling flexibility and a more affordable price, especially when you get 10% off your first month by signing up at betterhelp.com/MFRP. That's betterhelp.com/MFRP. Check it out and sign up today.